Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
So, get into college, study in business, freshman in college, had a breakup with a girl, devastated me. I go like this because, I mean, my stomach was churning. It hurt so bad. I mean, we were connected for about a year, and now I had this breakup. I was lonely. I was in despair. I had fears. You know, I wasn't depressed, but I don't even think I would know what it was to be depressed. But anyway, I was going through some hard times. You know what I finally started to do? Remember what I told you about how classic in change, a common element of change, is suffering? I started waking up in the morning and looking around my room, not knowing what it was, and knowing I wasn't satisfied. I started seeking God. And if you're going through some trials and tribulations in your life and some self-hate and confusion, bewilderment, seek God. God's the answer. God will help you. God wants you to come to Him. Your tragedy can be your triumph. Your hardship can be exactly what you need to bring you eternal life. So what I started doing was just simply reading the Bible, praying, and then get this, make a long story short, I had this filling. I go like this because it was from within. I had this anointing, this discovery, this wonderful experience of love, of God's love for me, the Holy Spirit. And just to let you know how I knew that I always had the Holy Spirit, whenever I go like to a wedding or watch a football game, and at the moment when the bride and the groom would kiss, I would get all these goosebumps, or I'd get chills up and down my spine. Or at a football game when the quarterback would throw the ball and they'd make the touchdown and we'd win, you know, yay, you know, and feel, oh, the hair would stand up on my arm. It's a very prickly feeling. It feels really good. That's what I felt times 1,000 when the Holy Spirit anointed me. It's called glory. You know, we always say glory to God in the highest and, you know, glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's glory? Glory is the electricity of God. Now, you've all felt that. You have to understand that feeling, I'm feeling it right now running through my face, that feeling is the Holy Spirit. That's why I entitled my book, Glorious Holy Spirit. That's what we're made for. We're made for ecstasy. We're made for glory. We're made for pleasure. But you got to do it God's way, not the world's way. So when I encountered all that glory, I said, I had always had this, I just didn't know that I had the Holy Spirit. So you do too. Don't leave here thinking, you know, oh, I don't have the Holy Spirit. You do. You watching by TV. You've got the Holy Spirit. Now what you got to do is surrender to the Holy Spirit. Believe out of the hearts of all who believe, Jesus said. Believe what? Believe in Jesus as your Savior. Believe that you have the Holy Spirit. You will have that life-flowing water. You know, there's all kinds of symbols for the Spirit. Water and breath and light and wind and all those beautiful symbols. All trying to describe who the Holy Spirit is. So I get into college. I have this anointing. My life was so turned around. And I'd like to say I wish that the Holy Spirit just took that fear, that panic, and said, Cedric, I'm with you. It's gone now. You're healed. That's not how it happened. Rather, the Holy Spirit takes you and makes you. You know, God is the potter. We're the clay. And what He's going to do is He's going to take you on this holiness journey. The Holy Spirit will take you on a holiness journey. Okay, so now I'm in college, anointed with the Holy Spirit. I have this wonderful experience. And then get this. I sense, and by the way, this experience I believe is for everybody in different ways. Not everybody feels the same thing. But I believe that everybody, every believer, ought to be experiencing God in a personal way. And that's why God raised me up as a priest, to proclaim this. That's why I'm on TV now, to proclaim to all people that God is an intimate God, that God is for all of us, to drink. That's why Jesus came. I have come that you may have life, and life abundant. So now I'm in college, and I sense God saying to me, deep within, and this is part of knowing the Holy Spirit intimately too, you begin to understand the language. Remember what I talked about on Sunday? I was blind, Helen Keller was blind, and she discovered language. Well, the Holy Spirit will bring a whole new language into your life, and this is what the Spirit said to me. Cedric, I want you to proclaim the gospel. I want you to preach. You're going to touch thousands of lives. I'm 19 years old, and I'm sensing this from within, in my prayer life, as I'm reading the scriptures. And you know what I said? I said, Lord, this is wonderful. You've anointed, not only have you anointed me, you've called me, I believe, possibly to the priesthood, to preach the gospel. Thank you. But we just have one small problem. I'm scared stiff. How are we going to do this? Every time I try to read in public, I have a panic attack. And what I sensed was, Cedric, trust me. Believe in me. I'm going to help you. All right, well, maybe, you know, talk about the audacity of hope. I had that audacity to believe that, okay, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to launch out into the deep here. You know, that's what Jesus said when he was talking about launching out into the deep for a catch. He means sometimes you got to go into some dangerous, perilous waters if you really want to get a catch. You got to go out over your head if you really want the fish. If I'm called to be a fisher of men and women, all right, here we go, over our head. I'm all yours, Lord. I'll do it. I'll try it. If you go before me, we'll do it, even though I'm scared stiff. So just to make a long story short, you may wonder where you start preaching. Well, let me tell you where you start. You don't start out on the street somewhere, and they don't put you in front of all the big crowds right away. You start at your seminary. And I ended up at a place called the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. CTU, it's commonly called, Catholic Theological Union. Part of our passionist formation is that you spend 4 years in theology school understanding the scriptures and all these different disciplines and being what's called formed. Remember what I said, God is the potter and we are the clay? Well, God uses people too to form you. So I went to the Catholic Theological Union. You have to understand what this place is like. This is a high-powered, highfalutin people at this place, seminary. It's one of the top seminaries in the country. They're heavy on the Bible. They lead Bible study programs. I studied in Israel for 3 months. And you've got people there that are well sought after, high-powered speakers who are traveled, who have written books, who are talked about, you know, in Catholic circles. You know, there's scripture scholars, there's liturgists, there's ethicists, historians. And they all have these, you can always tell how important a person is by the initials after their names. For example, you know, you have a comma, PhD, comma, STL, comma, TNT, you know, all these real high-powered people. Oh, and one of them, one of the people there, one of my scripture professors, get this, he edited the New American Catholic Bible. He was the editor of this Bible with the footnotes and everything. Right there on the front of the Bible, the Catholic Bible, many of you probably have it, is his name. Now, I was always under the impression when I was growing up that God wrote the Bible. Now I'm finding out that it was one of these professors here at Catholic Theological Union. This is the type place this was. So, I mean, again, it's, you know, highfalutin people and high-powered and learning all these new things about academics and scholarship and all these different things. So we had this chapel there, the Catholic Theological Union, seats about 100 people in the round. You in the first pew here, that would have been the last row of our chapel. The lectern is right here. The people are about 5 feet away from you. This is where you get your start, in front of the scripture scholars, the liturgists, the ethicists, the historians, all these people that are teaching you, and you're just one of many students. And so, but I was ready for it. After all, God has called me, and I'm not a chicken, right? I'm an eagle. We're going to do it. I'm still afraid, but God's going to help me. So I remember You know, you don't get to pick the scripture that you're going to get. They put you on the board, and the liturgical board, you know, they sign you up to preach, and you don't get the choice. They just do it once a quarter, and I'm going to be preaching in front of those people. So I'm getting ready for this, and I'm thinking, you know, God is so faithful. He's called me to this. He's going to give me something good in the scriptures. So I remember I went over to the board, and there's my name. You know, they put my name on it. It was a Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock, and everybody comes. All the teachers come at Monday at 5, you know, during the weekdays. The students are there. You know, so there's 100 people in the round. And if you're claustrophobic at all, forget it, because it's really closed in. And it's in Chicago in the winter, and it's dark out, and, you know, the windows are shut because it's cold. So you're in it, and there's no way out. And there's only one entrance in the chapel and out. I'm thinking, okay, God's going to be faithful. Give me a good scripture. You know what the scripture was? You know what the gospel was? Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. I said, what's that? It wasn't immediately recognizable for me. You know, John 3:16 is, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave. But not Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. But I'm thinking, you know, God's going to give me something good here. So I go over to Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. I look in my Bible, because now I got to prepare. I've got about 5 days to prepare for this homily in front of all these people. And I look and I go, Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. And I mean, I went, oh no. You know what Mark chapter 5, 1 through, you probably don't know what it is, but here's what happens. Jesus goes over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Gadarene territory. This is Mark chapter 5. It's still early in the gospel. The Gadarenes were Gentiles. He's not met by a welcoming committee with a red carpet. He is met by a man who lives in the tombs, and he is chained, and he has a knife, and he screams, ah! He's called the Gadarene demoniac. His name was Legion, and a legion is a Roman cohort of hundreds, because when Jesus asks his name, he says, what's your name? He goes, Legion! You know, and he's real mad and upset, and he's telling Jesus, go back where you came from. Well, Jesus stood up to this man. And he asked him his name, what's your name? And he said, Legion. And then Jesus noticed that there was a bunch of pigs feeding in the area. You've all heard this story. And so Jesus cast the demons out of him into the pigs, and the pigs ran into the, oh, by the way, I call this the story of deviled ham. And all the pigs ran over the top of the hill, and they ran into the Sea of Galilee. Remember? And they all drowned. Now here is this man clothed in his right mind. And he says to Jesus, for the first time, he's got his sanity. Because Jesus has just delivered him and healed him from the self-hate. And Jesus can heal you from self-hate and insecurity and any kind of self-abuse and self-sabotage that you have. He'll cast it out of you and help you. Well, here he is clothed in his right mind for the first time in his life. And he says, Jesus, he said, I want to follow you. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, no. He said, go home and tell everybody how good God is to you. And here's what I thought. I can't really preach about demons because now I got to figure out something to preach. I can't really preach about demons because these people are scholars. And they've been telling me in many of our different, I always thought there was demons, but they were telling us in these classes that, well, demons, that's the kind of the way the ancients referred to, you know, psychological sicknesses like self-hate or self-image problems or epilepsy and things like that. There's not really demons. So they were kind of, so I can't get up there and talk about a legion of demons to these people. They'll throw me right out of the seminary. So I go, I got to have another approach. And so what Jesus said to the man, he said, go home, go. Now here's a word, go. That is the Great Commission. At the end of Mass, we say oftentimes, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. It shouldn't be that way. It ought to be, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Or as I used to say, on your mark, get set, go. Because that's what the word Mass means, folks. It means mission. The dismissal. We've heard of a missal. The mission. Mass is all about the mission. You're fed with the word. You're fed with the body and the blood of Christ. And then you go. This is how I'm ending the retreat. I'm telling you to go home and tell everybody how good God is to you. So what I discovered is this, as I read the Bible. I looked at it, and I noticed that this was chapter 5. And here's what I discovered. I never heard this from any scholar. Chapter 1 the apostles are called. Chapter 6, they're sent out. This is chapter 5. Now, I studied math. 5 comes before 6. This demon-possessed Gentile was the first missionary, the first one to preach the good news in all of the Gospels. Scholars tell us that Mark was the first gospel written. Could you turn it down just a little bit, please? That Mark was the first gospel written. So this would have been the first missionary in all of the Gospels. So I've never heard anybody proclaim that before, that it wasn't Mary Magdalene, that it wasn't Peter, it wasn't James and John. It was Legion who was the first missionary. So I said, okay, I'm big on evangelization. I'm going to talk about how Legion was, and if he can do it, we can do it. And the second thing I was going to say is evangelization starts at home. Jesus told him, go home and tell everybody how good God has been to you. So you tell stories. Okay, so now it's the day to preach. And I go in there. Nobody knew I was going to preach except for the person that put me on the board. And by the way, you don't just preach. You also read the gospel. You're the proclaimer. And they teach you, don't just read it, proclaim it. Look at people. You'll notice when I proclaim the gospel, I use enthusiasm. I use passion. I look at you. I say, the Lord be with you. And I'm not looking at a book. They teach you all that, you know. So this is my training. So I'm ready to go. Time for the gospel comes. I stand up. Now, 200 little eyeballs are looking at me at close quarters. And I'm thinking, boy, I hope that they don't see my pimple, you know. And I hope my face doesn't start twitching or something. And I go, the Lord be with you. And this is, remember what I said, these are high-powered people, and they're into their religion. And this thunderous response comes, and also with you. And I'm looking at the people. There's my liturgy teacher, and there's the guy that teaches me history, and there's the guy that wrote the Bible over there. And, you know, there's my friends that are, you know, in the seminary. They're all like, come on, Cedric, you can do it. You know, I can see them. They're all rooting for it. So I start reading. Now, remember, this is 20 verses, 20. This is a long gospel. It's kind of like the gospel we had on Sunday of the blind man. It's a long one. So I start going, and you know, I'm talking, and I'm looking at people, and I'm proclaiming, and I'm trying to smile and everything. And I'm doing good. My heart's not, I'm not having a panic attack or anything. But I'll tell you what happened. I was halfway through the reading of the gospel. I haven't even started preaching yet. I had absolutely no spit. It was gone. Whatever saliva I had when I started, halfway through, disappeared. I don't know where it went, but it was gone. And it was gone for good, too. Let me tell you what happens when you ain't got no spit. That's the first thing. You think that's funny, huh? First thing is, your lip sticks to your teeth. And the feeble and the few don't look here, they look here. So I had a dilemma. Do I want to try to get it off and then let everybody know that I know that they know? Or do I just leave the thing up there? And I figured I better just leave it alone. The second thing that happens is people tell me, Cedric, you have a very resonant voice. You know, we love to hear your voice, good S's and everything. This is not to make fun of anybody, but I had the worst lisp you could ever imagine in your life. I wasn't able to pronounce the word S, any word with an S in it. And, you know, that's not good because in the Bible, there's a lot of words with S's in it. For example, Jesus, you know, he's all over the place. You can't get around him. So every time I would come to the word Jesus, I'd be going, Jesus, the man was possessed. And I'm starting to wonder what's going on. The third thing that happened, now my lips up here, I've got no spit, I can't speak. The third thing that happened was, you got to try to swallow once in a while. Try to swallow when you ain't got no spit. You know what happens? You make a funny noise. Like this. So now here I am, like this, going, Jesus, going. The guy that wrote the Bible's going. And I'm thinking, you know what? He didn't cast those demons into the pigs. He cast them into me. this was horrible. Everybody and anybody I was trying to impress in my life at that time was there. My friends that were, you know, like this before were like, I hope that never happens to me. So now I get to the end of my reading. I put the thing down. I was trying. They tell you, you know, if something goes wrong, just hesitate a little bit. So you know, like, I'm trying to build up some spit, you know, just, but nothing was coming. It was terrible. I don't even know what I said. I tried to use the word evangelist, but it came out evangelist. He was the first evangelist. I kept picking words with S's in it, you know. I said the gospel, you know, and I sat down after about 2 minutes of torture where everybody knew that I was either retarded or a fool. My heart beat so fast and I was so red. I don't know how I got through the mass, but as I said, you know, there was only one door out and you had to go through it, and I was in the front, so I was going to be the last one through and everybody would be congregating around the door. And you know, at the end, what they do is, you know, everybody, they got to say something about how it was, you know, like if you're an Olympic judge, for example, you know, 9.9, or, you know, I'm hoping for a 10 or something like that. I was just hoping for a 2, you know. Just give me a 2 or something. Give me some human dignity here. My friend at the door said, he shakes my hand. He goes, Cedric, that was really good. And I said, you liar. And I said, I'm out of here. He says, no, come on down to dinner. You'll forget about it. And he passed me on the back. I said, I ain't going to no dinner. I'm going to my room right now. And everybody was going down the elevator to dinner. I went the other way, down the hall, opened the door, slammed the door behind me, flopped on my bed. I still remember the smell of my pillow. That musty smell as I buried my face in the pillow. Couldn't even cry. I had no spit there either. It was gone. I don't know where it went. I laid in the pillow, and you know what I said? I said, it's over. I had an illusion that I had a call to be a Catholic priest. I ain't had no call to be no priest. I can't even say the word Jesus. And I laid there numb. I wasn't just numb. My toes were tingling. I hurt so bad because I have always been a person that tried to preserve my dignity before people, that tried to look good, you know, just like we most of us do. I was like the bottom of the barrel now. Everybody knew what a chicken I was. I just laid there totally numb, tingling, and it wasn't the glory of the Holy Spirit. It was a tingle. It was awful. And then as I'm laying there, get this, I sensed the Holy Spirit speak to me. And the Spirit says, Cedric, don't give up. I'm with you. And you know what I said? Where were you a half hour ago? Now you're going to try to get me back up there, aren't you? I ain't getting up there no more. That's it. I'm out of here. Then I heard, Cedric, don't give up. Don't quit. I have called you. And I'm laying there going, thinking about calling my mom and dad, saying, Mom, Dad, it didn't work out. You know, I'm going to look at something else, another career in my life. And I've got this inner fight going on. Finally, I got up. And, you know, that's one of the solutions in the Bible for people that are depressed or in self-pity. Get up. Move. Don't just stew in it. If you want to stew in negativity, it'll eat you alive. And I got up and I went down to dinner, and it was hard. You know, I remember walking in the lunchroom or in the dinner room, and everybody was kind of looking at me, and it was fine. You know, they forgot about it. And I did. I got up and I had to preach in front of those same people again. You know, there were some hard times, but then there were some good times. See, what I found out about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit doesn't just deliver you from everything like Legion was, but the Holy Spirit gives you the courage to face your fears and not to run and to discover who you really are. Oh, I love what the Bible says. The Spirit has not given us God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. And so the Spirit of God is so beautiful. And what I discovered through the Holy Spirit is, you know what? You don't fail when you bomb. You fail when you quit. And God hasn't called us to be a failure. God hasn't called you to give up. And we're all facing battles. Raising children, difficult marriages. Some of you are grieving because you've lost a spouse. Some of you are dealing with depression. Everybody's going through something. The Spirit of God has been given to us, first of all, to have a personal relationship with God. Second of all, to discover who you really are. And third of all, to have the courage to face life, and not only face it, but to win, to be victorious. And I love that phrase in the Bible, you are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Oh, that is so good. People of God, discover who the Holy Spirit is in your life. You have unlimited potential. You are not a chicken. You, every one of you, is an eagle. You are a new creation in Christ. And I pray for you now that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And as a result of this retreat, this mission, watching these programs on TV, your life will never, ever be the same.
You've reached the end of this teaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.